Reactor online. Sensors online. Weapons online. All systems nominal.
Hello everyone, Kara here with Unicorn Company, and today we have a lot to talk about. Some of it relates to the game in general, some awesome news, and of course we will have a Mech Tech segment at the end of the episode. Before we go diving into this though, I want to warn you, apart from the news and the Mech Tech segment, this will be covering a hard subject, one that talks about gaming and the Battletech community, and how certain people within it interact with the LGBTQ plus community. I want to apologize for y'all for getting this out as late as it is. I try to get these out sooner, but due to a lot of things this month in my personal life, I just have been behind the ball the whole time, and am hoping to finally catch up on a lot of things. The first thing I want to talk about is the news. The Kickstarter is over, it raised a lot of money, and the pledge manager is finally open. Once I get the things that I have pledged for, you will be getting a lot of new product reviews. Unless, of course, Catalyst wants to send me out some stuff my way to review beforehand, though I doubt that'll be happening, but I'm always listening if y'all do want to drop something in my comments and let me know that you want to work together. One big surprise in the pledge manager, which I didn't catch or showed up after I'd completed mine, as it looks like I was one of the early test people, was a Davian Force book. I am making a prediction that this is the reimagining of the companion books for the Alpha Strike game, which should give us plenty of new force options in the game and maybe some more house-specific special abilities. We also should be seeing the new Battletech Essentials box making its way to customers who pre-ordered soon in the middle of June. This box is a 2-mech starter that includes a Centurion in the loadout of Justin Allard, the original Yenlo Wang. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it, by the way, if it's Wang or Wang. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing it by saying Wang. As well as the resculpted Rifleman, which indirectly represents the famous legend killer that is piloted by Gray Noten. It is pretty much everything else, as from what I've seen, as the 2-mech starter that you normally can get, with some special stuff for it being Solaris 7, including a map of the Steiner Arena. Now, before we dive into the main topic, which will be less wargamey and more, well, social commentary on the gaming space, I want to talk a bit about the box set, in particular, the miniatures included. As I don't have the rules in front of me or anything like that, but we all have seen pictures of these models. Most people don't seem to care about the riflemen it's included, as there are quite a few riflemen sculpts out there, which does include the now infamous premium one, as they do care about Yenlo Wang and the sculpt that's out for it. Many overseas players have expressed concern that the mini will be locked behind the exclusivity of it being a Target product, and while I can understand their concern, in one of the AMAs, Catalyst pretty much put out there how the process works and about the reality of scale involved. In the grand scheme of things, compared to most industries, the gaming one is quite small and niche, and when you get the chance to work with a big retailer, such as Target, you take the leap and deal with whatever exclusivity that they are going to ask of you. Now, I know that some of my listeners right now might not be the most pleased with Target, and I will say that the box set I am receiving is not one that I paid for. But is being provided to me, and everything happened before Target started pulling its Pride merch off of the shelves or moving it to the back of the store. All of that being said, though, I hope that eventually there is some way for that mini to come out in a different set, available to international players, or that some other workaround is developed for getting it to them. The last part, though, does dovetail quite well with the main segment tonight. It's one I wish I didn't have to talk about, and I do on occasion. And I think I've had to do this every season so far. And that's the way that the LGBTQ plus community and the entire gaming community interact as a whole, and also how it's seen in or affects the Battletech gaming space. The idea for this started because of the events of the last week. And while I've been dealing with a lot and ended up, this ended up being something that was not only demonstrated to me the way that some elements in the gaming and battle community feel, but in a negative way that they react to LGBTQ people in the gaming space in general. So the beginning of this week started normal, as you would expect. I was dealing with God knows how much stress over things that I can't change, and I saw this wonderful little post on Twitter from a commission artist, Jewel Knight Jess. She posted a picture of a cute little pride sticker in the shape of a Warhammer logo that says, "You are welcome." That's it. She included in her Twitter post the words, "I'm in your hobby," making it inclusive. Nothing major or groundbreaking, at least from my point of view. This turned into an absolute shit show as people dogpiled on her about inclusivity in wargaming, with some mundane disagreements like, "Don't try to change it," then to less mundane things like, "Literally anyone can buy it and play it. You're in my hobby claiming it for a political movement and for a few quid." And even some comments which go full bore and are insulting enough that I will not repeat them here. Regardless, what was meant as a cute little inclusive thing turned into a bunch of mudslinging from one group of people because she had invaded their hobby as though they own it themselves. Not long after this, and having fought my little online battles with some of these very atrocious people, it was the Pansexual Day of Visibility. While some may feel that this isn't a big deal, for people like myself who live in both gaming and LGBTQ communities, it is a big day, and I decided to post pictures of the Clan Novacat G Galaxy mechs that I have painted in Pan colors. At first, the comments were mostly supportive, but then, much like the 40k trolls who decided to bombard Jewel, I began to feel pressure from them, being accused of everything from being a mentally deranged person to forcing my kinks upon other people. There were also more insulting things thrown at me, as well as some people intentionally misgendering me. Thankfully, the admins of some of the groups were pretty good about these and helped contain the transphobia and homophobia that was on display from these people. And in other cases, well, they didn't. I'm not going to go naming which groups did what, but those who did keep things in check were pretty awesome about it. I actually had one admin from one of the groups reach out to me directly because of what had happened. After a few days of taking jabs online, they finally died off. To be fair, I'm still getting some. But most of them are likely upset at whatever new thing has caught their attention. You know, oh my god, pink, yellow, and blue mechs are only going to make people mad for so long. Now, I bring this up, though, not to make anyone feel bad or guilty, but to point out something that has been going on for a while. And it's the way that the LGBTQ plus community is treated by some in the game. I know that not everyone is like this, and that the majority of Battletech players are good, decent people. People who may know someone who is in the community, who is a member of the LGBTQ plus community, who has likely suffered bullying because of who they are or who they love. And if you are one of these people, please reach out to your fellow gamers who do live within both of these communities, and let them know that they are welcome. I mean, I personally have met a great many people in the Battletech community who are wonderful and awesome people, people who I have built friendships with. I have literally run Unicorn Company mechs in tournaments, even winning one of the biggest Alpha Strike tournaments to exist, and have never at any of these events run into people with problems who are accusing me of injecting woke ideas or a gay agenda into the game, but instead who I have had wonderful games against and would gladly play again. we as a community should be able to come together and let those who believe that ideas like bigotry, homophobia, transphobia, misogyny, racism, and other hateful ideologies are a good thing to spread through the gaming community, that those ideas are not welcome in Battletech, and they are not something that the game is founded on or that it endorses. And that if they want to be members of a larger community, that they need to leave their hate behind. Because if they don't, they will find themselves being left behind. Look, I realize that a lot of you feel the same way, and to steal a religious term, I am preaching to the choir here. I hope, though, that some of you who might feel differently, that some of you might be convinced that we don't want some immeasurable change to the game that both you and we love, but we have been forced to hide a large part of who each of us are for years. For me personally, it was 40 years. We express ourselves through all kinds of ways. Sometimes it's stickers to put on water bottles or laptops. Other times, it's miniatures done in colors that are the same as pride flags. It isn't meant as an insult to anyone. It isn't something being done to impose one person's will on another. We just feel, especially in times like these, when it feels like the world is against us, that it is not only important for each of us to know who is an ally, but also for us to be seen, so that everyone can understand that except for who we love or how we express our gender, we are all alike. Now, I know that's probably a pretty short, we're only 12 minutes in, but I really don't feel like I can have another topic on top of this. We are going to go ahead and cover a mech tech and stuff like that. This is something that I really hope I do see some discussion in the comments, or that this causes some discussion somewhere, because we can't keep going like this. It's just not feasible. It's not something that can be done in perpetuity. And it just needs to change. Also, I think I've done a pretty good write-up here on our mech tech, which, by the way, will be Yenlo Wang, not the Centurion overall. Before I go and do that, though, I do want to go ahead and tell you about Fortress Miniatures and Games, who is our sponsor. Fortress Miniatures and Games is an awesome store that has just about everything you could want for Battletech. Their selection covers everything from used miniatures to brand new force packs and everything in between. Want an Iron Wind Metals mini? They probably have it. Want a plastic mini by itself? They likely have that too. They also carry hobby supplies like cases, paints, gaming mats, dice, and things you probably didn't know you needed until you see it there. So go ahead and check them out at fortressminiaturesandgames.com. So now, into the mech tech, right? This is literally half of my script is the mech tech, so let's go ahead and talk about Yenlo Wang. Yenlo Wang began life as a Bone Stock Centurion. It was purchased by Justin Allard on Solaris 7 in 3027. The Centurion would go on to live a life that is as unique as its pilots. Justin, looking for a competitive edge in the arena, would replace the Autocannon 10 with a much more destructive Autocannon 20, remove the LRM launcher, which is more of a liability in the close confines of arena combat, and would place titanium nails on the mech's fingertips, giving it claw-like capabilities in close combat. As Justin found employ with the Capellan Confederation later and their dreaded Mascarava, he was a central figure to the events that played out during the Fourth Succession War. Eventually, he had to be exfiltrated from the Capellan Confederation because it turned out that he was a double agent for House Davian. Yenlo Wang followed with him. So the mech in BattleTech is a powerful close-range brawler. Has a ground speed of 64 kilometers an hour at a full run, and is sufficiently armored for a medium mech of its time, with a total of 8.5 tons of armor. The mech has a standard fusion engine and structure with 10 single heat sinks, and the heat dissipation capacity is more than reasonable given its weapon loadout. To represent the left-hand claw, it is equipped with a hatchet in the rules, making it incredibly powerful in melee. Its actual weapons payload consists of an autocannon 20, taking up the majority of the right arm, except for the actuators. I think it's just the upper and lower, the shoulder and upper actuator on that. And it has 3 tons of ammunition in the right torso, giving it a sustained fire of 150 seconds or 15 turns. The mech mounts 2 medium lasers in the center torso, one facing the rear and one to the front, thus giving it basically 360 degrees of fire coverage. And it has a battle value of 957. So in Alpha Strike, the original configuration for Yen Lo Wang is a Juggernaut that comes in at 27 points. The mech is a battle mech, size 2, TMM1, movement of 8, has short and medium values of 3. Very impressive for an introductory tech medium mech. No long and no overheat with armor of 5 and structure of 4. The mech has specials of autocannon 2-2-0, melee, and rear 1-1-0. Quite respectable, actually. The next time that we would see Yen Lo Wang was in the possession of Justin Allard's son, Kai Allard Liao. Yen Lo Wang was refitted on orders from Hans Davian after Kai would not take AWOLF's Dragoons produced Omnimech after the Outreach Summit during the Year of Peace in the Clan Invasion. The mech would see service through the rest of the Clan Invasion, as well as during the Great Refusal on Strand of Mechdi when Sanav's forces faced off against Clan Wolf, with a draw being declared between Kai and Vlad Ward, Khan of the Wolves. Kai would use the mech one last time, this time further modernized, during the Capellan Crusades, facing off against the Confederation, and it would finally fall on the battlefield on January 14th of 3113, when he was facing the Red Lancers and a unit of Death Commandos. In a sign of respect, the mech was not claimed as salvage and would instead end up being inherited by Denai Liao Centrella at his request. It's like last second he's about to die. You give this mech to this person. I don't know. Now, the Clan Invasion refit of Yen Lo Wang used Star League technology to make it an even deadlier threat. The mech was essentially stripped down to its core and rebuilt. The standard fusion engine replaced by an extra light engine, freeing up space for more modern weapons to enhance its mobility. And somewhat ironically, it was fitted with triple strength Myomer, which was sort of the downfall of the Confederation during the Fourth Succession War in one battle. Well, that and their size and Hans Davian just pumping money in the military. Anyway, but this allowed it to reach speeds up to 86 kilometers an hour when it had a slightly high heat load. The claw hand was left unchanged, once again represented by a hatchet and the rules. Added to the left arm, though, were a pair of medium pulse lasers, a third medium pulse laser mounted in the center torso facing the rear of the mech. And for long-range punch, that the original variant did not have, it was given a Gauss rifle in the right arm, vastly increasing its long-range capabilities at the cost of 25% of the damage output that the autocannon had. The Gauss rifle has 2 tons of ammunition, giving it a slightly longer amount of staying power when compared to the autocannon 20, with an increase of 10 seconds or one turn of firing. This variant of Yen Lo Wang comes in at 1415 battle value. In Alpha Strike, the second variant of Yen Lo Wang was even more capable than the first. It comes in only a point more, though, at 28 points, and is classified as a brawler. It's size 2, TMM1, 8 inches of movement. Damage capabilities have only been enhanced with short and medium of 3 and a long of 2, with no overheat. The mech has five armor, but only two structure, reflecting its XL engine. And for specials, the mech has melee, rear 110, and TSM, making it an effective close-range brawler and melee fighter. The Capellan Crusades variant of Yen Lo Wang was a mixed-tech masterpiece of engineering. The mech had been upgraded with light ferrofibrous armor with a total of 9 tons, giving it more armor protection than had ever been seen on the design before. It retained the XL engine and triple-strength Myomer of the earlier refit, and it had upgraded its heat sinks to double heat sinks. All of its weapons had been upgraded to clan models, with a clan Gauss rifle in its right arm and 2 tons of ammunition, a single center torso mounted ER medium laser, and an LRM-20 launcher in the left torso with 2 tons of ammunition, making this essentially an actual all-round battlefield mech at this point. The mech has case 2 in its left torso to protect against LRM ammunition explosions, and, as I recall, does retain the hatchet. It has a battle value of 1815. In Alpha Strike, the Capellan Crusades refit is size 2 with a TMM of 1 and movement of 8. It comes in significantly more expensive than previous models with a cost of 33 points. This mech is a brawler with short and medium of 4 and long of 3. Armor and structure remain unchanged from the Clan Invasion refit with 5 and 2 respectively. The mech once again has no overheat and has specials of case 2, melee, triple strength Myomer, indirect fire 1, and LRM 111, making it a far more rounded variant than either of the previous versions. Or trio of versions, I should say. Anyway. Yen Lo Wang's fourth iteration, as mentioned before, is piloted by Danae. I do not know how to pronounce her name. Liao Centrella. Danae, I'm going to go with that route, would take the mech back to the game world of Solaris 7, where she was able to use it to great success. The mech that she took, though, didn't resemble the machine left to her, as it had not really had any upkeep since Kai's death more than 7 years prior. So eventually, you know, after her time with Solaris with this machine, she took it to the Capellan Confederation and joined the 2nd McCarran's Armored Cavalry, and was seen piloting it as recently as 3147 when she attempted to take New Citrus and kill Julian Davian. Now, for this final version of Yen Lo Wang, we do not have an official record sheet. Based on its description, though, it is possible to make a best guess at what this configuration would look like. Using the miniature for weapons placement and its description in Principles of Desolation to garner its loadout. Based on these factors, here's what we are able to glean from all of our sources. First of all, the design mirrors the placement of the hatchet and LRM-20 launcher, basically flipping them. The hatchet's original position is taken up by a large shield, and it has a heavy, large laser mounted in the left torso. The mech's ground speed has also been increased by 50% with a massive Vlar 300 XL engine, and even more weight is saved by using an endosteel chassis. The mech retains its triple-strength Myomer and double heat sinks, with it also protecting the LRM ammunition with case 2. This probable configuration of the mech would come in at a battle value of 1667. At least that's the estimated value. In Alpha Strike, this possible variant is size 2 with a TMM of 2 and a movement of 10 inches. It is... Actually, no, is that right? That's not right. 12 inches. I typed that wrong. It is a skirmisher and has an estimated point cost of 36. The mech has damage values of 3 at short and medium, with 2 at long and no overheat. Armor protection moves up to 6 with 2 structure, and it has specials of case 2, indirect fire 1, LRM 111, melee shield. Oh no, it's 10 because of the shield, and TSM. If this is even remotely correct, It is a potent and agile sniper that can go in for a close-range kill. On a personal note, I believe that the last variant, which we have no record sheets for, exists because of the way that MechWarrior Dark Age liked to just, well, play with things. In this case, they had reimagined some variants of the Centurion as having a variant bearing a shield. And instead of treating the hatchet as a claw, decided to actually go with it as a hatchet. And even added the shield to give it that gladiatorial look. So, to be fair, I don't know if the Shield Centurion or the Yenlo Wang Mini with the shield came out first, but I'm pretty sure parts were just used between the two for the sake of simplicity. For simplicity's sake. There's a saying for that already, Carrie. I guess at some point we're going to have to talk about that era of Battletech that nearly killed it and unironically had referred to itself as the Dark Ages. So, I really hope that, you know, you did enjoy this episode of the podcast. I know we covered things which are much more serious than normal and step a bit outside of what we would normally touch on, but I felt it's something that needed to be covered. If you want to help support the podcast, then you can do so at patreon.com/unicorncompany. When you support the podcast, not only are you helping create content, but you are giving me the tools to expand our coverage and improve the podcast. I want to thank all the patrons who help make what we already do here a possibility. I also want to thank again my sponsor, Fortress Miniatures and Games. Check out their website at fortressminiaturesandgames.com for awesome Battletech products. And actually, I think they have some stuff that's related to some other games as well. Don't quote me on that, but, you know, I kind of look around every now and then. I step outside the Battletech bubble, like, for 30 seconds, and then I see all the other things and come right back in. So, you know. And I also... I've also gone ahead and included links to the Patreon, our Facebook group, Fortress, in the description box, as well as a link to find Jewel Knight Jess's Redbubble, where you can purchase stickers and t-shirts. Until next time, this is Carrie signing off. I'm gonna find my meaning, I can make a change, I wanna play the game, you wanna sink or swim, I'm gonna